Well, Christmas wouldn't feel much like Christmas without all of the lights, would it? Imagine if you had one of those Harry Potter machines and you just clicked it in the middle of town and suddenly all the lights go out of all the shop windows and all of the houses and the high street and the Christmas trees. It doesn't feel so Christmassy anymore, does it? I don't know, perhaps you've got one of those next door neighbours who spends 3 weeks getting all of the lights perfectly aligned and then shames the rest of the street as they... Maybe you are one of those neighbours. I don't know. You're very welcome here this evening. I saw a very funny picture early this week, which had a picture of one such house. And this particular person's next door neighbour had simply got a neon arrow pointing towards the house with a flashing sign saying "Ditto." An economical guide to Christmas. It's a great time of year, isn't it, for there to be so many lights around. It's so dark and miserable everywhere. But of course, it's not just a nice tradition. All the lights that we enjoy at Christmas are symbolic. And those verses that we've just had read and that are printed there on your orders of service to look at give us the background, if you like, to our love of light at Christmas. In his introduction to his gospel, the writer John, who's talking about Jesus, and right in the middle he says this, have a look down at the verse printed. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not understood it. And when the baby in the manger grew up to be a man, you know, he made exactly the same claim about himself. And that's the next verse printed on your order of service. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And so behind all the lights we love at Christmas lies the light of the world, Jesus Christ. But what does it mean? And what does that mean for us today? Well, that's what we'll be spending the next few minutes chewing through together. And at the heart of this statement by Jesus lie two big claims. And the first is this: the world is a dark place. That's his first claim. The world is a dark place. Now, you only have to watch films like Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings, those kind of Christmas classics, to realise that light and dark are pretty universally recognised as symbols of good and evil. The Dark Lord, you know, the clue's in the name there. It doesn't take much imagination to work out what side he's on. And the same is true in the Bible. So when John says the light shines in the darkness, well, he's saying that our world is a dark and an evil place. It was certainly true of the world that Jesus experienced. He was born into poverty. He had to flee as a refugee. He lives in a time of political instability with many popular uprisings against the ruling elite. Sound familiar? The world hasn't changed much, has it? Here's a Guardian headline just before the presidential election. If Donald Trump wins, it will be a new age of darkness. Truth is, of course, many people would have said exactly the same about Hillary Clinton. And the truth is, the world has always been a dark place, irrespective of politics. And it's not just events out there. It's personal, isn't it? And perhaps you're sitting here tonight and it has been a dark year for you. The death of a loved one, breakdown of a relationship, struggles with work, money, depression, loneliness. Just the sense that you seem to be constantly arguing. And the thing is, we get so used to it, don't we? That we don't stop to think. But it's rubbish, isn't it? Even the good years are punctuated by this darkness. And lurking behind it all is the creeping inevitability of death, perhaps the ultimate darkness. Tolstoy once reflected as a young man, he was a kind of philosophical young man, he said, is there any meaning in my life that the inevitable death awaiting me does not destroy? very honest words. Our world is a dark place. It's Jesus' first claim. Not completely dark, but it is dark, isn't it? You know, sometimes when you're at home and the lights just suddenly go off, and once you've realised that it's dark, that bit doesn't normally take too long, what's the first question you ask? Why? Why have the lights gone off? Is it the trip switch? I'll go down and check the trip switch. Perhaps it's not. So we go out the front door. We see if it's been a power cut across the street. Why has it gone dark? And surely as we look at the darkness in our world, don't we ask the same question? Why? Why is it so dark out there? Where does the darkness come from? The Bible gives an answer to that question. And whilst the answer may not be particularly comfortable or perhaps actually particularly familiar to some of us here, it makes a lot of sense. It goes something like this. The Bible says that God is light. In him is no darkness at all, no evil, just love and justice and goodness. But it goes on to explain that we people have turned our backs on this God of light. And of course, when you turn away from the light, you're left in darkness. Here's a couple of ways that plays out. That God is the one who gives our lives a set purpose. He tells us what our life is ultimately all about. Turn away from that light, and you're in the dark. No ultimate purpose, you just kind of have to make it up for yourself. Or another example, it's God who tells us what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is destructive. Turn away from that light and you're left in darkness. No ultimate sense of what is good and what is bad, what is destructive and what is wholesome and good for us. Turn away from the light and you're left in the dark. And actually, the Bible insists that this is something all of us have done. That this darkness, if you like, is something that goes pretty deep in all of our hearts. And that means we can't just say, oh, the darkness, it's out there. You know, all those people who voted leave. We can't say that. No, we have to say the darkness is in here, in my heart. A couple of months ago, we started noticing at home, my wife and I, that there were quite a few flies around. Okay, to be honest, I didn't notice it at all, but my wife noticed that there were quite a few flies around, and so we went into an absolute military regime to try and get rid of these flies. It was extraordinary. We weren't a single crumb on the table, and the anti-bac spray was out before you knew it, and there was kind of fly paper, that sticky stuff, up on all of our walls, and we had fly spray kind of carefully positioned, and we got quite good. If you get a direct hit, they just kind of fall from the sky like that. It's quite pleasing. But we kind of went at these flies as hard as we possibly could. And we swatted quite a few of them away, but they just kept coming back. That is until my wife was rummaging around in an underused cupboard at the bottom of our kitchen and discovered behind a few plastic bags 3 bags of sweet potatoes, which we had bought 4 months previously, by which time they were a kind of heaving, mouldy mass, and quite a few flies had made quite a significant fly nest there. She had discovered the source. And of course, once you get rid of that root problem, well, the flies disappeared. All the fly paper in the world wouldn't have made the slightest bit of difference until we discovered the root cause. And you know, in the same way, the Bible tells us not just that this world is a dark place, it goes on to say what the root cause of that darkness is. Our turning away from the God of light. And you know, that explains why no matter how much swatting we might do at the darkness, no matter how good our politicians are, no matter how good our education is, no matter how advanced our technology becomes, the darkness persists and keeps coming back because the root of the problem is still there. Our hearts haven't changed, we continue to turn away from the God of light. That's the first big claim. Our world is a dark place. And that's why the second great claim Jesus makes here is such wonderfully good news. Not only does he say the world is a dark place, he goes on to say, I am the light you need. I am the light you need. I think it's fair to say that most would acknowledge the darkness of our world. But the question is, how do you respond to it? Some people get quite gloomy and hopeless, perhaps. There is no hope, no light, no meaning. Let's just all give up. Most of us, though, I think, respond to the darkness by looking for light. And there are lots of different places that we can look. The joy of family. And don't we love this, particularly at Christmas? And we look to our families to provide light and meaning. Perhaps it's the hope of being loved, having someone who cares for us, notices us, loves us. It's a wonderful thing, light in the darkness. Perhaps it's community, that group of friends who we kind of click with, relax with, laugh with, share life with. Perhaps it's a great achievement and the recognition from our friends, our peers, that will come with a light for us to latch onto. Perhaps it's just simply the next holiday. Most of us are searching for light. I wonder, where do you look for your light in life? But into this search for light in a dark world, Jesus speaks these astonishing words, I am the light of the world. It is an outrageous and an absolute claim. He's not just saying, I'm another place for you to look for light, but I am the light of the world. You know, for a long time, when people looked up at the moon on a clear night, they assumed that it must have light of its own. It could give quite a lot of light off on a clear night. But then, of course, people came to realize that the moon doesn't have any light of its own. It's all reflected from the sun. The sun kind of beams down on it, and it kind of reflects itself back to us. So it appears to have light, but it's all reflected light. The sun is the source. The moon is just a reflection from that source. And when Jesus says, I am the light of the world, he's claiming to be like the sun, the source of all light. That when that baby was born in Bethlehem, the great burning source of light himself, God Almighty, stepped down into our world and became a person. And you see, that explains a lot. Because for all the genuine light to be found in family, in our communities, in achievements, it is like the light of the moon rather than the light of the sun. It's reflected. It's good, but it's reflected. All of it comes from Jesus, who is the source of all of these good things. Family, a gift from him. Love, a gift from him. Our abilities with which we strive to achieve. All gifts from him. All of it from that great source of light, Jesus. And you know, our problem is that we tend to only look at the reflections and we ignore the source. But no matter how hard we try those things, these other lights simply don't have the power to drive out the darkness. We go to family, but then there's another argument and it's so disappointing. We go for love, but then there's another rejection and it's so disappointing. We try to build a community, but we just end up feeling lonely. We try and achieve, but even when we do, we still feel a little empty. Because these things are reflected light. They're not the source. Jesus says, I am the light you need. And the reason Jesus is the only light who can drive out the darkness is because he's the only one who can deal with the root cause of the darkness in our world. You see, you can swat away at the flies, but unless you find and deal with the root cause, you're fighting a losing battle. But when Jesus came into the world, he came not just to provide some light in the darkness, he came to take on darkness itself. You see, the root cause of the darkness in the world is our rebellion against God. And that was seen nowhere more clearly than when the light stepped into our world. Yes, people were attracted to Jesus, but in the end, the darkness came to hate the light. And so Jesus was opposed, he was tried, he was hung on a cross. And it looked like the darkness had won. But in reality, as Jesus hung there on the cross, that was the moment when darkness was finally undone. You see, we are the cause of the world's darkness. We are the ones who fully deserve God's righteous anger and judgment. But on the cross, Jesus faced that judgment himself. He took on all of the world's darkness and swallowed it up. And then 3 days later, he burst out from the tomb, wonderfully alive. You see, Jesus came into the world to take on darkness itself, and he won. And now he says to each of us, look at that verse again. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He says, simply come to him and put your lives in his hands. Come to Jesus, follow Jesus, and we can experience total forgiveness for our part in the darkness. We can know the light of life. You see, Jesus has defeated death. If we are with him, he will take us through that ultimate darkness as well. He offers the light of life, life now as God intended it, knowing him, basking in his wonderful life, and then life everlasting, stretching beyond today into forever. How do we respond to all this? There'll be many Christian believers here tonight. Friends, have you grown to love this light? Can I ask, is this light shaping you that you might shine out as well? Are you wanting to share this light with others? There'll be others here who are happy to call themselves Christians, but the truth is that Jesus makes very little day-to-day impact on your life. Well, you need to realize that Jesus is not just one light out of many to kind of think about from time to time. He is the only light who can deal with the darkness in your heart, which means we need to stop kind of dabbling with Jesus and learn to depend on him fully. There'll be others here for whom this is all just completely new ideas. It's true, billions of people across the world and through the ages have been persuaded that Jesus' claim to be the light of the world is true. But how can you hope to work that out yourself unless you actually take a bit of time to engage with Jesus, who he is and what he claims about himself? Which is why, if that is your, I'd love you to take one of these gospel accounts. Just the original source documents, if you like. They're all at the door on the way out. Take it and read it this Christmas. See what you make of this man, Jesus. Join us on our next Christianity Explore course. We'll say a bit more about that later. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Friends, why settle for the moon when the sun is on offer? Why swat at the flies when a victor has come to extinguish the very root of the darkness? And so whoever you are, whatever you believe, however broken or complete you feel, whatever brought you here tonight, Jesus says to you, this world is a dark place. I am the light you need. Follow me. Amen.